Let's get going on another week of our 4.5 year verse-by-verse journey through all of God's inspired Word. We are ready to dive into Proverbs chapter number 17. Now, we're pushing our way through this plethora of Proverbs. Each verse in this section is pretty much a memorizable portion of wisdom laid down by King Solomon for his son, his sons, his kids, his subjects that needed a little bit of wisdom. And so I recommend to you that you keep a little notebook where you can jot down any references that would be beneficial to you or someone else in dealing with temptations or life situations. A lot of repetition through here of principles, so keep that in mind as well, and there's a reason for that. The more we hear on a topic, the more likely we're going to remember the principles that are being laid down on that topic. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 1. Better is a dry morsel with quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. And it's pretty easy to see the contrast there. Better to have a little bowl of some sort of dry bread, and it's nice and peaceful, nobody's causing you any trouble, than to be in a great big banquet hall with a nice steak dinner and a whole bunch of fighting going on. Just not good for the digestion, is it? Verse 2, a servant who deals wisely will rule over a son who acts shamefully, and will share the inheritance as one of the brothers. So this is an encouragement to be a good son, because a servant that does well is going to be honored over a son that doesn't do well, and will even end up with a situation that when it comes time for the inheritance, a good servant will be named in the will for their good work. Verse 3. The crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and he who is tests hearts. Now, silver and gold are purified by high heat situations. You got a couple of different mentions here of how that is done. But the more significant thing is that God is the one who refines our hearts, the place where we make our choices. He may even, in fact, allow us to be put into a high heat situation, you know, a little bit of stress, a little bit of pressure, in order for us to come out on the other side better. Verse 4. An evildoer listens to wicked lips, and a liar gives ear to a mischievous tongue. So people with bad intentions, sinful attitudes, tend to listen, tend to respond well to bad information that aligns with their evil heart, their evil intentions. It's an echo chamber effect. You know, it's, information bias. You hear what you want to hear. And so that's what these guys, this is what Solomon is warning about. Verse 5, whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Now, these two go together. And so the poor would be a reference to those that don't have enough. And to make fun of them, to even be happy that bad things are happening to them, that shows not just simply blatant disregard for that person, but for God himself. Because God made us all in his image and his likeness. And so every last one of us as human beings should have a basic respect for other human beings and their rights as made in the image of God. And so if we mock people when they're going through some tough times, even if it's tough times of their own making, what we should be doing is trying to help them out of that situation. And certainly to be happy when bad things happen to other people. God's not going to forget that. He will take that in consideration because it is the symbol, it is the sign of a bad attitude, a bad heart. It makes me think of the New Testament idea of, you know, we're not capable of saying, I love God, when we hate those who have been made in his image and likeness. The two just don't go together. And this proverb kind of comes up with that. Verse 6, grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. So I'm a grandfather. I have one granddaughter. And I like the fact that I've got her, and she's special. And that's what this idea is about here, is that grandkids are special, a special gift from God to people who are older now. But children, they have their fathers and their grandfathers, their mothers and their grandmothers as their glory. They can be proud of being part of the family. So it's a reciprocal sort of proverb. Verse 7, fine speech is not becoming to a fool, still less is false speech to a prince. Now, it would be nice if fools would speak kindly and properly, but then they wouldn't be as fool anymore. So that's not really the point here. The point is, when you have a fool, a biblical fool, somebody who rejects ultimate authority, who has no respect for other people than themselves, you're not going to get fine speech out of them. They are going to be rude and crude about anyone and everyone that does not go along with their way of doing things. So he kind of starts with that idea that you're not going to get good speech out of fools. But also he warns, because remember, this is King Solomon. One of his key targets is Prince Rehoboam, his son, who's probably a teenager at this time, who will eventually be King Rehoboam. Still less is false speech to a prince. So princes, those that will be an authority eventually, they shouldn't be lying. It's not an appropriate part of their lifestyle. Verse 8. A bribe is like a magic stone, or possibly it's just the idea of a precious stone, something of value, in the eyes of the one who gives it. Wherever he turns, he prospers. Now, this is one of those places that I warned you about, that the word bribe may have some English overtone that is not really appropriate here. I think perhaps the idea of a tip might be the better sense, that tips used to be given ahead of time to ensure promptness, T-I-P, to ensure promptness. And so you basically gave a little something at the very beginning of your interchange with someone because you wanted to make sure that everything move forward appropriately. And so that is what it's got in mind here. It's not a bribe in the sense that we would think of a bribe, which is it's illegal in most cases to bribe officials. I'm going to rephrase that. It is illegal in all cases to bribe a government official, okay? That's not the point. The point is that people who grease the wheels are going to get a little bit farther. And really, if you take money out of the equation, it's true about just nice behavior. I mean, I think I've used this phrase once before. We have a modern parable that I grew up with. You attract more flies with honey than with vinegar. And so if you try the nice approach, you'll get farther. Verse number 9 is alluded to, or the principle is certainly found in a couple of New Testament passages. Whoever covers an offense seeks love. So love covers over a multitude of sins, right? But he who repeats a matter separates close friends. So by dealing with an issue privately, which is the way we're taught to do church discipline, isn't it? If we have a problem with somebody, we go to them privately and try to resolve it. If we can't do it, we take a couple of others, go back to them privately, try to resolve it. Because the goal is to restore relationship. That's a loving attitude, which is exactly what's being talked about here. But the person who just throws information out there in the public about other people, they end up sometimes separating close friends. They end up breaking relationships. And I have to say that I think sometimes that's what their intention was, is to drive a wedge between people by releasing intimate information out into the open. This is why we need to be more careful in our interactions with people. If you're face-to-face with somebody in a public setting and you've got something private that needs to be talked about, take them off to the side. Don't be just starting talking about it out in the open. If you're online and you're in the comments section, you're in some sort of comment thread, and you need to bring something intimate and private up, don't do it in the open public. Go do a direct message. Go do a private message instead and deal with it. That shows consideration for the other person. Verse number 10, a rebuke goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Now, this is a time when they use corporal punishment. Now, the 100 blows is probably, it's hyperbolic. It's an over-exaggeration, because Jewish law said that the maximum number of strokes or swats in a single session of corporal punishment was 40. So unless Solomon has in mind repeat offenders that are getting multiple sessions of spankings, then this is not even going to be something that would happen in Jewish society. But the point is this: a foolish person doesn't even respond well to corporal punishment, because their attitude stinks. But a wise person, a person who has the fear of the Lord and therefore they have the beginning of knowledge, if somebody calls them down, corrects them, chides them, takes them aside and tells them, hey, that wasn't right, you shouldn't have done it that way, that gets them. It goes down into their heart and it changes them. And so I hope all of us are wise enough that when a friend or an acquaintance that cares about the situation calls us on the carpet for something we've said or done, that we will respond in wisdom. Verse 11, an evil man seeks only rebellion, and a cruel messenger will be sent against him. So bad people out there trying to stir the pot, trying to cause trouble. And the word for messenger here is actually the word for angel, malach. And so it's possible that this is a reference to God taking action against them. supernaturally. And we know that there are situations like that. Verse 12, let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Now, I think most of us understand that mama bears do not react kindly in the wild to someone getting between them and their baby bears. Well, you'd be better off in that situation than meeting a fool that is full of folly. Now, that's clearly an exaggeration of the immediate physical danger, but not so much on the moral danger. Foolish people bring with them trouble. Remember, a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They're rejecting ultimate authority. It's only about them. So this is really, the fools are kind of narcissists in the book of Proverbs and elsewhere in Scripture. And so it's never a good thing to come into the orbit of narcissist. Verse 13. If anyone returns evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. God is going to see that and will deal with it. If not within the structure of the time period, certainly within the structure of eternity, he will take care of it. And so the warning here, of course, is don't be doing nasty things to people that are doing good. That's not right. It's immoral. Verse 14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water. Now, I have to explain this. And you need to think about this in your mind. You probably haven't ever experienced it personally, but you may have seen it on a television show or a movie or something like that. Imagine an earthen dam, or perhaps even a concrete dam, and a little crack starts in it, and a little spurt of water starts coming through that crack. That's the beginning of a catastrophic failure of the dam, isn't it? And that's what it's talking about here. The beginning of strife is just like that. It's where you start seeing the fractures and the fissures and the water squirting out, and you know what's going to happen. It's going to blow. And so the beginning of strife is just like that, and his advice is this: so quit before the quarrel breaks out. Fix the issue before it bursts the dam, and nothing but trouble will come from that. Verse 15, he who justifies the wicked, meaning giving legal cover to somebody that's doing something wrong, and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to he who is. So they make God sick to help bad people get away with it, or righteous people get slammed. Neither one of those is good. Verse 16. Why should a fool have money in his hand to buy wisdom when he has no sense? This is a little tongue-in-cheek thing, is that money can't buy wisdom, especially if you're a fool. Because a fool, unless they repent and start seeking the knowledge of God by being in fear of him, it's not going to do them any good because they won't use it. So don't be a fool is basically the advice that Solomon is giving us. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So the idea of love here is commitment. Wanting and maintaining a tight relationship. And so when you've got a friend like that, that is committed to you, that is fantastic. And when you have a brother, this doesn't have to be a literal brother, they are the ones that are going to get you through the rough times. So relationship is highlighted here. Verse 18. One who lacks sense gives a pledge and puts up security in the presence of his neighbor. This is one of those don't co-sign proverb warnings. If you put stuff up for somebody else, you know, to buy something they can't afford, that's not a wise choice. You should actually be helping them find something more within their price range. That would be much more wise. Because we know what can happen and very often does happen. The person who can't afford it without the co-signing ends up not being able to afford it even with the co-signing, and the person who co-signed ends up losing their collateral. And that's on them. That was their bad choice. Verse number 19. Whoever loves transgression loves strife, and he who makes his door high seeks destruction. Now, this is not a construction issue here. It is an idea of arrogance to make their situation more significant, more important than anybody else's situation. And so they're just spoiling for, you know, controversy in a fight. And they'll get it because, hey, that's apparently what they like. And all of us know people at some time in our life that are that way. They seem to just always be wanting to argue, wanting to fight, make it all about whether or not they know what they're talking about. Nobody else does. Verse number 20. A man of crooked heart, and remember, in Jewish language, heart is where you make your choices. It's in the Greek text, particularly in the New Testament. This almost is always translated as mind. So, a man of crooked heart does not discover good, and one with a dishonest tongue falls into calamity. So we're seeing here kind of the characterization of people's attitudes. You know, if they got a sinful way of looking at things, they're not going to find good things because they're looking for the bad. And people who make it a habit of talking bad about other people, talking down good situations, well, that's not going to get very far. Other than into trouble. Verse 21. He who sires a fool gets himself sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. This matches up with some of the parables that we see where, you know, a wise son brings joy to his father, and a foolish son brings sorrow to his mother, things like that. This is a dad saying, don't make me sorry. Don't be a fool and break my heart. Verse 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So when you have a good attitude, when you think positively, that is good for you physically. It is like a good medicine. And we know that that is true in medical circles. That's why you try to keep a positive attitude around people that are undergoing medical care. Why we need doctors and nurses and medical staff that have a good bedside manner, because it will help the patient recover better. A crushed spirit, you know, feeling down, negative, burdened, that dries up the bones, which was a Hebrew way of talking about makes you not feel very well, makes you ill, makes you unhealthy. Verse 23, the wicked accepts a bribe in secret to pervert the ways of justice. And yes, this time I would go along with the idea of a bribe is what the sense of the word is carrying out. The whole idea is to sway justice away from the truth. And so when money is given or material is promised or favors are promised in order to pervert the ways of justice, that's not good. Bad people do that. And bad people accept it as well. Verse 24. The discerning sets his face toward wisdom, but the eyes of the fool are on the ends of the earth. So, discerning people, wise people, stay focused on the current situation, especially wanting to apply wisdom to it, God's wisdom. But foolish people are kind of flighty, and they're looking here, there, and everywhere. And so, of course, what's Solomon trying to say? Don't be that way. Stay focused and use God's wisdom to get through the situation. Verse 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Pretty straightforward. Parents are brokenhearted when they see their kids act in foolish fashions, and they pray for them. Verse 26, to impose a fine on a righteous man is not good, nor to strike the noble for their uprightness. So we penalize financially the things that we want to stop. Well, if you penalize a righteous person for their righteous behavior, that's not good, because it will chill them in their good activities. Same thing for corporal punishment. If you take a good person and give them a public spanking just because they're being upright, they're probably not going to be upright next time around.